Good morning.
Good morning.
I love that. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling you right now. And we're going to hear another call, a call of wisdom today as we look at the text, Proverbs chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8 as we continue our study in the book of Proverbs, God's wisdom for living. But before we do that, I want to talk about the million-dollar resume. Has anybody ever filled out a resume for a job before? Any resumes? Okay. Has anybody ever had to go for an interview because your resume was so stellar? Well, this is the million-dollar resume, and this Todd is our person of consideration. Todd was going through job postings, and he saw a job listed for Senior Vice President of Global Strategy. Wow. But he didn't know exactly what global strategy meant. But he did know that the salary had two commas in it. The posting said this: seeking experienced executive with 15 plus years of leadership, MBA preferred. Well, Todd had led his fantasy football league for 3 seasons, and he once managed to get a free extra sauce packet from Chick-fil-A, so he figured he qualified. Needless to say, Todd's resume was unique. If you've filled out a resume, you kind of know how this goes. You have an objective, right? Well, Todd's objective on his resume was to get paid a lot for thinking big thoughts and having his own office. He lists his relevant experience. The first, assistant shift leader, unofficially, at Taco Palace from 2017 to 2019. And his qualifications, he motivated team through inspirational quotes such as, "Let's wrap it up." He was a freelance consultant to his cousin from 2020 to the present. Helped his cousin rebrand, quote unquote, his eBay store by changing the font. And his final list of experiences, he is a thought leader since birth. Always thinking, sometimes leading. His education, well, he listed 3 TED Talks and an episode of Shark Tank. And he almost finished community college, but he's still waiting for them to call him back. Todd included a photo of himself with his resume giving a thumbs up at a job fair because they should see my confidence. He submitted this resume with his photo at 2:13 a.m. with a cover letter that said, "Dear Sir, Madam, / Recruiter Bot," and ended with, "I'm basically what you're looking for if you're looking for someone awesome." A week later, surprisingly, the company called him for an interview. Apparently, HR had circulated his resume for a laugh. The CEO happened to see it and said, "I like this guy's confidence. Bring him in." Todd arrived in a suit that still had the store tags attached, ready to talk synergy. When asked what he thought the company's biggest challenge was, he asked, "Finding someone as awesome as me for the job." Needless to say, Todd did not get the job. But he did get an offer to teach a corporate workshop called Confidence Beyond Reason. We're coming to Proverbs chapter 8, where we're seeing wisdom giving us a resume, giving us experiences, giving us proof, interviewing us almost, that wisdom is a most worthy partner to join. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, we read this: "Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruits, wisdom's fruit, is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver." That is pretty lofty promises, isn't it? The wisdom is saying, look, there ain't no one like me. There's no one better than me. You want me on your team. The big idea simply is this, that partnering with wisdom, joining wisdom, points us to the greater reality behind her, the Lord Jesus Christ, and leads us to eternal life. In Proverbs chapter 6, a little bit of a recap, we find the father from last week warning the son to not put up surety or a pledge or co-signing a loan for a stranger or a neighbor, as it is unwise. And then in Proverbs chapter 6 later, the father warns the son about committing adultery. In chapter 7, we see the son warned against the seduction of the adulteress and her smooth words. But here in chapter 8, the narrative shifts as the narrator shifts, as it's not the father who is speaking, but rather wisdom herself who is giving out the call. And now, if you recall, in Proverbs chapter 1, we were first introduced to woman wisdom in verse 20, where she says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets. She raises her voice at the head of the noisy street. She cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks, 'How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you.'" And so here, this thread, this idea of woman wisdom comes back. In fact, woman wisdom is back, and she is as compelling as ever for us to listen to her as she calls out in the street, as she gives us her resume, as she lists her skills, her attributes, she provides her references and her relevant experience, and invites each and every one of us into a lifetime partnership with her. And it begins by wisdom's call in the street. Let's look at the text together, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. 'To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her.'" Wisdom cries out in these public spaces where there are tons of people, because wisdom wants everyone to hear her as she competes with the myriad of other voices that are enticing to anyone who would hear, especially those voices that would entice the fools and the simple, the voice of the sinners, right? The immoral woman of chapters 5 through 7, the woman folly herself, as we'll read about her next week in chapter 9. And there's so many voices that compete for our attention and our affection, correct? You think about our lives and just how much information we're bombarded with on the daily. And in fact, almost moment by moment, there's constant pinging on our phones, right? Updates, alerts. And that's just your mom trying to find out where you are, kids. But wisdom is calling, and she's one of those voices. And notice that wisdom, she does her calling in broad daylight. She calls out during the day when business is being conducted instead of at nighttime, unlike foolishness, unlike the woman of seduction. Why? Because wisdom has nothing to hide. Wisdom conducts all of her business in the light. She has nothing to fear. She has nothing to hide. There's nothing scandalous about wisdom and how she conducts herself in her business. Wisdom is on the heights beside the way. She's at the crossroads. She's beside the gates in front of the town. Why is this significant? Because all the decisions that impacted the community were made at the city gates. And so where does wisdom do her business? She does it at the city gates, out in the open, for all to see. And wisdom's call, if you look at chapter 8, verse 4, wisdom's call goes out to all of humanity. "Oh, children of men, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man." Every person, everyone that is willing to listen, everyone that is willing to respond needs to hear this call. Not just the simple or the foolish, even though wisdom does reference those, that invitation goes out here, but this is a call to everyone. And wisdom promises in verse 5 that she will teach prudence and common sense. Oh, that we could benefit from some more common sense in our culture, amen? I wish they could give degrees in common sense, because it would be worth its weight in gold. Wisdom's words, as we look at the continue in the chapter, wisdom's words in verses 6 and 7, they're wholly trustworthy as she speaks noble things. She speaks what is right. She speaks truth. She speaks about that which is righteous. Wisdom is becoming more and more attractive by the moment, isn't she? As she is talking about these things, she doesn't speak about ignoble things, but noble things. In fact, she even goes on to say that wickedness is an abomination to her. And in fact, there's nothing twisted or crooked in her speech. You can take wisdom at its word, because she will always speak the truth. In fact, in verse 9, wisdom's words are straight to those who understand. There's almost a sense where wisdom is self-fulfilling. Wisdom is one of those things where you hear it, you're thinking about, man, I wonder if this makes sense. Is this true? And all of a sudden you get that moment of clarity, that moment of illumination. Anybody ever experienced that? And you go, yeah, this makes sense. Why? Because wisdom is there. And we're going to hear more about that a little bit later in the message. Wisdom's words provide that straight path. She doesn't hide or make things mysterious for people who are actually on the path of wisdom. There's no confusion in wisdom. In fact, wisdom is incomparable to the very riches of silver and gold, even fine gold, refined gold, that we all strive and work hard for. As we go about our lives, as we go about earning and striving so that we can pay our bills and save for the future and take care of our family. And what does wisdom say? Wisdom says, nothing can compare to me. Nothing can compare to what wisdom offers to those who hear her call and respond. In fact, in verse 11, she says, wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare to her. Think about for a moment what you desire above all things. What are you working hard for? If you're a student, are you working hard to get good grades so that you can get into the school that you want to? Are you working hard and doing all of your chores and obeying mom and dad perfectly so that you can get your allowance? Parents, are you working hard to earn the respect of your kids, or if you're an employee, to earn the respect of your employer, and so on and so forth? What are we striving for? Is it a vacation? Is it a boat? Is it whatever? And you know what wisdom does? Wisdom says, of all of those things, anything that you may desire, it cannot even touch me. And what does wisdom cost? Nothing. So whatever it is that you're striving for, whatever it is that you're working so hard to earn, wisdom says, work for me, pursue me, desire me more, because I am worth more than what it is you're chasing after. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty bold claim. And so here is wisdom's call, her invitation. She says, come, listen, don't you hear my voice? Don't you want to hear what I have to say? And if that's not enough, she goes on and she provides her resume and her salient attributes, her skills. Because wisdom makes this compelling argument of what she promises and what is unacceptable, but can she really deliver? I mean, wisdom says, I'm more valuable than anything you desire. That sounds good, but can you really deliver on that promise? Well, I would contend, as we read through the next few verses, that wisdom, in fact, can deliver. And as what follows is a resume and those attributes and skills that wisdom possesses to prove her trustworthiness, to prove that she is a partner worth partnering with. Let's look at verses 12 through 21. She says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Wisdom, she has prudence, she has knowledge, she has discretion, these helper words, these cousin words to wisdom. And they're some of her closest advisors and skills. And wisdom is saying, if you want these qualities, you have to know me. You have to know wisdom. Most importantly, we see in verse 13 that wisdom knows that the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. In fact, Not only that, any perversion of speech and arrogance and pride are things that wisdom hates and is opposed to. And we remember we were introduced to this idea in chapter 1 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And here we see that kind of that next step of what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord means that I actually hate what the Lord hates. And what does the Lord hate? Evil. The Lord loves what is good, right, and true. In fact, that's how God created and designed the world and designed everything to function. But sin corrupted it and caused this disruption, this disharmony. And the Lord hates that. And so wisdom is calling us back into a right relationship with God, a right relationship with his creation. And wisdom says, look, I dwell with prudence. I find knowledge. I find discretion. I understand that the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. I completely reject pride and arrogance and perverted speech. And so just as wisdom avoids, and I love this word, eschews. Isn't that a great word? Eschews. It means does away with. Just as wisdom avoids pride, arrogance, and the evil way and perverted speech, so too, we are called to avoid those things in our lives if we are to partner with and pursue wisdom. Because wisdom, according to verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. Wisdom gives us the ability to make right decisions that are good, right, and true, and the ability to carefully weigh out a situation without making a snap judgment. Anybody ever make a snap judgment and find out that you were wrong? Yes. I think we can all relate to that. Why? Because we are so conditioned by our biases, by our echo chambers, what we think is good, right, and true, and somebody does something, you go, oh, they must be a Republican. You thought I was going the other way, didn't you? They must be a Packers fan. See, we make decisions because we just snap those judgments without carefully weighing them out. Because without wisdom, we don't have the ability to read people rightly. Wisdom gives us that pause. Wisdom gives us that check in our spirit, that discernment that goes, wait a minute. I don't know that I have all the information here. And before I make a decision, I need to think this through. I need to get some more information. Wisdom teaches us how to navigate through life in a way that avoids us ruining things, praise God, and bringing glory to the Lord in all that we do. You see, in my own strength, in my own capacities and capabilities, I am going to end up in the ditch of life pretty much 9 times out of 10. But with wisdom, her strength, with her counsel, with her insight, with her prudence and discretion and knowledge and rejection of that which is arrogant and pride and evil and perverted, it sets me up for greater success. Not just that I might succeed in life, but that I might succeed in right relationship with my Creator. Not only that, wisdom says in verses 15 and 16 that she is the one that gives those who are in authority the ability to lead and govern or manage, and it's made just through wisdom. And so I don't know that there are too many kings here or princes, but I think there's some moms and dads, amen? I think there's some employers, some managers, some supervisors, some teachers, and we could all benefit from wisdom in order to adjudicate our responsibilities justly. Would you agree with that? As a dad, I need to understand my kids before I just say no or come here, you know. I need to understand the situation. Same is true if you're in charge of employees. You need to understand how to manage justly, how to govern justly for the glory of God. The text goes on to say in verse 17 that wisdom, if I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently find me, wisdom loves those who love her. Wisdom wants to be embraced. Wisdom wants to be invested in. Wisdom wants to be pursued. And those who seek her will diligently find her. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about wisdom and about a relationship with God is that if we desire that, if we want to know the Lord, if we want to understand him and his heart, all we have to do is pursue him, and guess what? We will find him. God is not hiding in a corner, playing hide and seek with you. God is not trying to be mysterious and unavailable and unapproachable. In fact, quite the opposite. He says, come to me, all you who are what? Weary and heavy laden. Come to me. The throne room of grace is is wide open. But there's only one way to get there, and that is through the blood of Christ. It kind of reminds me of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7, 8, when he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened." What's the qualifier there? For only the good enough? Only the rich enough? Only the educated enough? Only the fit enough? Only the young enough? No, what's the qualifier? For everyone who asks receives. Brothers and sisters, if you want wisdom, if you want more of Jesus, if you want to grow in your relationship and your likeness in him, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is seek. All you've got to do is knock, and he will pour out upon you. When we do that, wisdom, look at verses 18 and following. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. Wisdom brings riches and honor and enduring wealth and righteousness. Because it's not about riches and honor. It's not about wealth. It's about righteousness. It's about growing. And the grace and knowledge of Jesus is about understanding what pleases God's heart. Now, wealth and honor might come as a result of an obedient life to Christ. But what did Jesus say? You can't serve both God and mammon. You will either hate the one and love the other. You can't serve both. You can't have two masters. And so when we put wisdom first, when we put Christ first, these riches and honors, they go well beyond financial success and security, though that is part of it. But when our dependence, our reliance is upon the Lord for his provision, it really doesn't matter how many zeros are in my salary or in my bank account, because I know that he's going to provide, amen? Because he's faithful. And wisdom brings the right perspective and the right affection to those things. The wisdom and righteousness that wisdom produces in us is far better than riches, gold, even fine gold, and choice silver. Why? If you look at verses 20 and 21, I walk in the way of righteousness and in the paths of justice. That blessing, that benefit, that richness is the result. It results in righteousness and justice and how I live my life rightly in right relationship with God and with other people. And the inheritance to those who love wisdom is really a life that brings honor and glory to God, a life that is filled with justice and righteousness, love and joy, and peace with God and peace with each other through Christ. I can't think of anything more worthwhile investing in, can you? Than having a right relationship guided by wisdom, filling the treasuries of your soul. Do you feel empty or do you feel full in your relationships? I would suggest for your consideration that if you're feeling empty in your relationships because you're not pursuing wisdom, because you're actually being selfish and you're taking advantage of people, trying to have some need met in your own psyche, than actually investing and pouring into others because they are image bearers of God. And as we understand that the one who stands behind wisdom, the one that wisdom points to is Christ Jesus, then we know that our inheritance is eternal life with him. That's the true treasure. That's the true priceless gift. Eternal life in Christ is truly a priceless gift. Amen. Money and riches can't buy that. Your efforts can't purchase God's favor. It is a gift given to us through the blood of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and it's ours for the taking if we would just believe and receive it. And that's the point. Eternal life with Christ. So here we've seen wisdom, her resume and her skills, you know. And so in addition to her skills and attributes, she wants to provide some references and some experience. Look at verses 22 through 31. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. This section is a little bit more complicated as wisdom provides her references and experience, but it's actually not all that complicated because who is wisdom's primary reference? The Lord. Anybody, when you go for a job interview or fill out a resume or an application, when they ask for your references, how many of you have ever put, "The Lord, my God"? You can contact him at 1-800-JESUS now. Nobody's ever done that, right? But that's what wisdom is doing. Wisdom is saying, you want to check my references? Well, you take it up with Yahweh. And what's wisdom's primary experience? What does she bring to the table? Creation of everything. That's pretty powerful reference and experience, don't you think? You see, this wisdom is not just good ideas or sage advice, your best life now. No, this wisdom is the Lord's wisdom, his very wisdom, which is on full display. And more than that, it is fully available to all who would hear her call and respond to her. In fact, God is not withholding his wisdom from anyone. He is saying, here's my wisdom. Take it. It's yours. It's available to you. You want to live a right life, a just life, a holy life, a joyful life, then you need my wisdom. You see, wisdom, it existed before the creation, and it is superior to the creation. Why? Because wisdom was there first. The Lord possessed me, verse 22, at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Before God spoke anything into existence, wisdom was there. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, where there weren't any depths. There weren't any springs abounding with water. There weren't any mountains, any hills, any fields. Even before the dust was formed, I was there. Wisdom was at creation before God formed man. And wisdom was essential in the forming of man. Why? Because how did God form man? Out of the dust. Well, wisdom was there before dust was even made. You see, thus, if humanity lives contrary to the wisdom that formed it, and lives contrary to the wise design of creation, then we will return to our prior state of creation, which is, you see, God designed the world, God designed life to function according to his wisdom. But sin has come and has disrupted all of that, hasn't it? Sin has caused corruption and disruption and perversion. And wisdom is calling us back to God's good ways, God's good design. Note in verses 30 and 31, the joy that wisdom took in the creation. He says, Then I was beside him like what a master workman, a chief architect. And I was daily his delight. Wisdom delighted the Lord, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Wisdom took great delight in creation. There's a joy to creation that we as created beings should delight in. Amen? There's something about life, and there's something about the heavens and the stars and the creeks and the streams and the lakes and the trees and the birds and all of that should fill us with awe and wonder. Because God designed it for our joy and our pleasure. Amen? There's delight that should be had, in fact, in being in relationship with one another as his image bearers, as brothers and sisters. But unfortunately, we're often too busy being consumed with the next trend or the next news feed or whatever other distractions that come our way. Because we're so busy striving, we're so busy working hard in our routine, or we're too busy being comfortable and enjoying our preferences that we miss the delight and the joy that creation offers. I just want to call to your mind Psalm 8. Psalm 8 was written by David. And I imagine this psalm was inspired by the Spirit upon David as he was out in the fields tending the sheep, as he was playing his lyre, as he was contemplating life and God's majesty and his creation, his glory. And this is the result. He says in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you've established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David delighted in God's creation. David delighted in the heavens and the stars and understood how wisdom was at work, bringing it all together, working together to magnify and to glorify its creator. In fact, the heavens declare the glory of who? The Lord. Jesus, as he's walking or riding into Jerusalem on that colt of a donkey, and all the people are praising him, and he's told by the Pharisees, hey, stop these people from praising you. He said, Jesus' response was, even if their voices stopped, the rocks themselves would cry out and praise. Why? Because creation longs for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation longs to be restored and redeemed fully. Because wisdom took delight in its creation. And ultimately, what does wisdom do? Wisdom points us to the one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, that is Christ, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him, and note this, for him. So when God was at work in the creation and wisdom was there, really what wisdom is doing is wisdom is pointing us to him who is the image of the invisible God, he who is the firstborn, the firstborn son, the one that is due all the inheritance of the Father. Wisdom is pointing us to Christ Jesus, God's one and only Son. And through this, as wisdom is completing her plea, her call, we see her invitation to partnership in verses 32 through 36 of Proverbs 8. And now, O sons, listen to me. Listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. You almost get the sense where wisdom is calming her voice. She's drawing us in. Listen. Church, do you hear wisdom's voice? She's calling us. Listen. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Wisdom ends her job interview with an invitation to join her in partnership. And at this point, I think we realize that this isn't wisdom being interviewed as much as she's interviewing us and calling us into a deep relationship. And how could we ignore her at this point? How could we deny wisdom's invitation? Only the fool would say no. You see, partnering with wisdom is the path to blessing. It's the path to justice, righteousness, joy, and ultimately a right relationship of eternal life with the Lord our God through Jesus Christ. Rejecting wisdom, turning wisdom down is to embrace evil. It's actually to cause injury and actual harm to ourselves, and is ultimately the path that leads to death. And how could wisdom make these kinds of claims? Because wisdom is pointing us to Jesus, as only Jesus can make these claims and deliver them, to follow through on them. Because only Jesus can genuinely offer us eternal life. Amen? Only Jesus can deliver on what he promises. And only Jesus is the full wisdom of God. And Jesus is saying to you and I that we must choose. Choosing Jesus and his wisdom or not choosing him and his wisdom is really the difference between choosing life and choosing death. It's really that simple. The question ultimately for every one of us to answer is, what will you choose? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for wisdom's invitation, her call, her qualifications, her characteristics, everything that makes wisdom so beautiful and so ideal, Lord. Because wisdom is calling us into a deep relationship with you, God, through Christ our Lord. And there are some, Lord, that have yet to make that choice to follow wisdom. There are still some, yet even in this room, that are still weighing out the options. And the case doesn't get any more compelling. The beauty doesn't get any more grand than Proverbs chapter 8. The promise of wisdom, strength, and wisdom, and prudence, and discretion, and righteousness, and justice, and joy. And yet sometimes we think, I think I could do a better job. But if we're really honest with ourselves, we know that's not working out. Because the path that we choose, the path of self-indulgence and self-reliance, self-righteousness, only leads to bitterness and anger and frustration, heartache, broken relationship, disappointment, futility, and ultimately death and separation. But Lord, in the midst of that, you are calling us. And you are relentless in your call. You're saying, come, all you who would listen, come. Because what I have for you is so much better, so much greater, so much more wonderful than you could ever imagine. It's so much more worthwhile to you than even gold or silver or precious jewels. God, may we stop resisting. May we just stop stiffening our necks and hardening our hearts. And may we just open our tight fists, bend our knees, soften our hearts, and say, Lord, I accept that invitation into a life of wisdom, because I accept and your invitation of a life with you, Jesus, by believing that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sin in my place, that you were buried and then you rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that I believe, Jesus, you're coming again to restore and redeem all that you started. I place my faith and trust in you for salvation, Lord. It's really that simple. Embrace that gift, receive it with joy and gladness, and begin to understand wisdom's words as she makes your path straight, as she causes your life to grow and be strengthened. And Lord, I just pray that we who hear your voice would respond, and we would renew our commitment to pursuing you each and every day, because you alone are worthy. We love you, we thank you, and we give you the glory. And all God's people said, amen.